Oh, yeah, okay. Good evening and welcome to the teen parenting class. This one's entitled Transitioning Your Teen to an Adult. And we're going to talk a little bit about some college issues and some things along those lines, too. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Russ McGarr, and I've been married for almost 28 years to that wonderful woman right back there, Sue. An amazing and beautiful woman. And the problem is we've only been disciples for 16 years. So for 12 years, we've been trying to raise our family in a non-Christian environment. Sue and I both came from dysfunctional families, and we were soon becoming the same way before we became Christians. And after becoming a Christian, how were we supposed to raise spiritual, functional, stable children when we had no successful examples to draw from? So tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about some practical things we can do that will help us. The good news is that God is the answer. Amen. He can mend our families, and it's never too late. Amen. Sue and I have three wonderful children, Jason, Julie, and Rachel. Jason and Rachel are both Christians, and Julie's not there yet, but she will be, and we have faith that it's going to happen. And the thing is, what we're going to do is we're going to start with the first couple of lessons that we're going to summarize a couple of points there, because all this ties together. All these points build on one another. And the first thing we're going to talk about is the secret that Steve talked about in Parenting 101. Right. Who remembers what that secret of parenting is? Yes, Mr. Todd.
Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Exactly. That is the basis from everything that's going to be built on. And that's in Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. This is the foundation for us. And pretty much with this lesson and everything else going forward, it's all going to be tied together. Let's have somebody pray to start us off. Danny, could you pray for us?
Father, we do thank you, God, that we can come before you in prayer, Father. We thank you so much, God, for this class. Pray you be with speakers tonight, Father, mm-hmm. to give them wisdom, Father, to let them preach your word, Father. We thank you so much for their hearts wanting to share their experiences with us, Father. We thank you for your love. We pray all this in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. And essentially, we talked about point number one, loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Point number two is praying. We have to be praying for our children, with our children, and for each other's children. We are together in more ways than one as far as we need to be unified. We need to be talking. We need to be praying. We need to be sharing our faith with them. And what better to do that with is with prayer. These are ways that we can instill these values in them. We need to be praying with them on a regular basis. And this was talked about before, so we're going to spend a little bit more time on the next few points. So these are the first two things we need to build on as far as loving God and being prayerful. The third point is training our kids. Turn to Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. Proverbs 22, verse 6. And it says, start children off or train children in the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Training our children is a process that takes a lifetime. We always have a tendency to look at our kids as children no matter how old they get. It doesn't matter. We'll still look at them like our little children. But we need to alter our training process as they get older. One day, they will leave home. They'll go off. They will move out. They will go to college. They will do things. They will have a life on their own. And the goal of this training is not just that they obey you now, but they'll obey God when they are on their own and make good and righteous decisions when they are on their own. As far as young children, we pretty much have to tell them what to do. You know, clean your room, pick up your clothes. You know, it's constantly training them that way. But for teens and young adults, we have to do it a little differently. We need to start learning how to influence their decisions. We need to allow them to make mistakes, but guiding them ultimately to making the right godly decisions that we want for them, that God wants for them. An example of this would be if your child's not doing well in school. You know, if it's a young child, what are you going to do? You're going to ground them, maybe remove some of their privileges, TV, internet, maybe not allow them to hang out with their friends until their grades improve. But as they get older, you want to talk to them. You want to talk to them about why getting good grades is important. You want them to understand. You might want to talk to them about what sort of job do they want to do when they get older. And if these grades continue this way, is that going to allow them to get to this goal? If they want to be a teacher, an astronaut, rocket scientist, or whatever. Usually grades, having a good education, is a background for these things. And having them understand this is very important. Because then they will have their own convictions, not just you telling them what to do. So, you want them to logically come to these conclusions on their own, so you don't have to constantly remind them time and time again. Even though it seems that way sometimes, that you're always reminding them. But this is the process we're talking about. You have to hang in there with them. You have to keep reminding them of these things, because it is tough. It is tough. And a process that influences them also works in a spiritual nature also. An example of this would be if they start being deceitful or lying, you might want to start sharing them examples from your past where you had the same struggle. And share with them maybe what you learned from this experience. And you want to share with them that God expects both of you to be truthful. This will help your teen see that you don't expect him to do something that you're not willing to do, and that you're both on the same team, and it's not you against them. So you want to work together with that, and that way it'll start having them develop their own just their own opinions about that. You want them to have their resolve about doing that, not just when they're being told, but other times too. Amen. And I think sometimes as our teens get older, we have a concern that we want our teens to start liking us instead of respecting us. And there is a big difference in this. As I saw my children getting older and becoming more mature, I wanted to be the cool dad. I wanted my kids to like me. And let me just be clear on this. You'll never be cool to your kids. Never. Never. So just understand that right now. It'll save you a lot of hassle. And then as I was trying to be this cool, relatable dad, I started to notice something. I noticed that my kids were stopped listening to what I was telling them to do. They were kind of, wanting to be my friend, but they stopped listening. And we kind of had to go back and retrain them. I learned a lesson that way. And I think a lot of times as we get older, we get kind of sentimental that way. We want people to start liking us. But let me share this. If your kids respect you and see the example that you are, trust me, all that will come too. So don't worry about trying to be the cool parent. if you talk with your kids, they'll see how cool you are through your faith.
Amen.
That'll shine through to them because they'll see that example.
Right.
And understand this also, that if your kids don't love and respect you that they can see, how are they going to love and respect a God that they can't see? So this is of paramount importance that we understand this point.
Amen.
So this is training. Let's talk about a little advice in communication. Point number 4. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10. Proverbs 13 and verse 10. It says, pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. This proverb hits home for many of us. Because of our pride, and I'm talking about men directly, and women can be prideful too, but I'm just talking about from my background, we have neglected to get help for our families, which in turn has caused many quarrels and heartaches in our homes. And I've said this before, it's never too late to get help. Never. It's never too late to start influencing our children in a positive manner. Even when you think that they're not listening to you, they are. And even when you think that they're not paying attention, they are. We need to just look around and get advice from other parents that have successfully raised young teenagers, adults in this area. So there's a whole wealth of people in the church that can help us in this area. Seek their advice. Also, we need to be a stable influence in our children's life. And we need to set the example at home. And I'm going to talk about the men for just a second. If you're angry or disappointed, do not yell at your kids. It will only get them to rebel against you more. We need to be firm in what we say, but if we yell and lose our temper, that battle will be lost. And speaking of battles, we need to pick and choose our battles. There are some things that are very important in our children's lives, and there are other things that are nice. And I can't tell you what those battles are, but you don't want to fight every one. Some things are okay for your children to do. If they're a little messy, sometimes we just have to shut the door. Unless that's important to your wife, then you need to address it. So that's a balance there. You just don't want to nag and exasperate your children. That's the last thing you want to do. Look for ways to encourage them, even though it may be hard at times. We need to find those things to make them feel good about themselves. And men, I think sometimes, I know from my past, it was easier to bond with my son than with my daughters. And I had to really focus on spending time with them. And building that relationship and talking with them, man. And we want to be that guy that they go to talk to. We want to be that guy that they confide in when they have something to talk about. We want to have them to have that open door policy where they can talk to us about anything. We don't want them to go to some other guy. And if you're not relatable, and if they can't talk to you, believe me, they will find some other guy to talk to. And for single moms, you just have to be both mom and dad. You have to do everything. And I encourage you with that. A lot of you guys in this room have great kids. Just stay in there. I know it's hard. Stay involved with your children. Have dinner with them as often as you can. I know that was mentioned before. Eat together as often as possible. Talk to kids about what they're doing, how they're doing, and who they're doing it with. Continue to talk with them. Have you ever heard the expression, "Where did you go? Nowhere. What did you do? Nothing." That is an unacceptable answer. We need to be prying. We need to be greasing them up to get them to convey what they're feeling and what they're going through. Even though most of it is mundane and petty for the most part, but we have to be interested in what they have to say and what they have to share with us. We want to be the people that they talk to. And it also, we need to be sharing about ourselves too, because we don't want our conversations to to turn into interrogations, because that'll shut them up just as easily. So these are the things that we need to do as far as getting advice. Like I said, there's many people that we can talk to and also communicate with your kids. That's point number four. Point number five is expectations and responsibility. Turn to Matthew 25, verse 21, please. Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. This is concerning the faithful servant. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." If you are faithful over little, you can be set over much. Our children need to learn to be responsible at home while they are still with us, so they can be responsible over their own life when they leave. Some of our kids will not go to college, but they should try to develop some sort of skill or trade that can make them employable. And we need to expect them to do that right after high school. We need to expect that of them. We need to talk about college early with them. We need to help them be proactive. This is not something they're used to doing. So we need to ask them how it's going on this field. Have them talk to their counselors. Have them get their own information, especially if it's the first time, you know, the oldest child going through. You might not be used to it. Also, have them look for and apply for all grants, scholarships that they remotely qualify for. And understand that it takes time to apply for each one of these. Because a lot of times what they're going to ask for is a little sample of their writing. They're going to want them to write an essay on why they want to go to college, their favorite memory in summer, something like that. They want to see an example, a reason why they should get the scholarship. So understand that it's not something that's going to be quick, that they can just, you know, type in their name, you know, 300 times and qualify for 300 scholarships or grants. So have them understand that this is a time-consuming process, that they need to set aside some time to do this. Also, have them work during the summer. Have them work to earn money to pay for this. They need to take ownership of the next phase of their education. Have them apply to many places for employment, even though these places might not be accepting. It is a good experience for them to go through this interview process, especially handling rejection and persevering through it. It's something that's going to happen a lot as they get older. And if they can understand and deal with that as a young person, they'll be more suited as they get older to deal with it later in life. We don't want this process to surprise them. So we want to give them more responsibility as they get older. But we want to show them responsibility when they show they are capable, not just because they're older. Trust is something that's earned. And for example, just because they're old enough to drive doesn't mean they should drive. And especially if it's your car they're driving. But on the other hand, we need to look for opportunities for them to prove that they can be trusted. Because we want them to be able to take themselves to Bible talk. We don't want to have to go back and forth all the time. It's real. Life gets a lot easier when you're not trying to chaperone your kids everywhere. But understand they have to show that they're responsible. If you see them driving, if they pull out of your driveway doing 60 miles an hour, you might want to reevaluate the car key situation. I'm just going to leave that in your hand. But we need to praise them also when they show they're being responsible. And especially when they're showing signs of greater responsibility and maturity. We want to point that out and show them how this has rewarded them. And remember that they may be feeling a little bit of anxiety, apprehension in doing these things as far as transitioning. So for guys, don't be too hard on them. Encourage them. Because they're feeling nervous. They're feeling a little unsure about this whole situation. So let's be encouraging. So these are the things I wanted to stress right now. The key, of course, was loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Praying, training, being involved with your kids, communicate, having reasonable expectations for your children. And these will all help in the transition of your teens and adults. Here's Steve to help elaborate further on this topic. Thank you.
Okay, I'm live. Well, I'm a prophet. I can tell the future. The first line in my notes, that was awesome, Russ. And that was. Let's do it again. Oh, that was awesome. I love the teal shirt. I would never wear one, but he's bold enough to do it. Way to go. I like it. Oh, man. Okay. Well, I want to... Russ has covered a lot of good material, stuff that can really help us as we prepare our children for the next phase in their life. And I just have a couple of supplemental points really to share. And I guess one question I wanted to ask, name some great examples of parents in the Bible, people that we can just turn to and really study their parenting and learn what it means to be a parent.
Joseph and Mary.
Joseph and Mary. Yeah, that's implied. They really don't tell us a lot, but they probably did a good job, okay? Yeah, I know. That's my problem, too. Maybe Abraham. Abraham probably did a pretty good job with Isaac. Now, the rest of his family was kind of dysfunctional. You know, David, well, no. You know, it's kind of hard to come up with, okay? So, Timothy's mother. Yeah, there you go. So instead, what I thought I would focus on, you know, there are many great examples in the Bible of spiritual men raising up young men to be leaders. There's a lot of examples of that in the Bible. Moses and Joshua. Okay? Elijah and Elisha. Paul and Timothy. And then another one that I thought I would focus on, so turn to John chapter 15. The Master Himself, Jesus, and the Apostles. Jesus didn't have any children. He never got married, except to the church. I guess He's raising all of us. But He did raise the disciples to spiritual maturity. And so I thought we would look at a couple of things here. And then I'm just mostly going to share some practical things that Barbara and I have done and continue to do with our children. John 15, can someone read verse 15? Dan, could you read that real loud?
So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country.
No. John 15:15. You're in Luke.
Yeah, I don't know why. Okay.
That's a good story on parenting, actually, the prodigal son. Yeah.
I no longer call you servants, because the servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I've made known to you.
Amen. Okay, so Jesus here is talking to his disciples. This is at the time of the Last Supper, the last week before he's going to be arrested. And he's sort of, you know, if you read John, it's like three or four chapters of Jesus' sort of final talk to his disciples. And he says here, I no longer call you servants, but friends. You know, I've taught you now everything that I can teach you, at least at this point. Right? They still got a couple of important experiences to go through, the cross and the resurrection, before they're really ready, but that's just experience. At this point, Jesus has taught them basically everything he can to this point. And he's now saying they're ready, you know, they're ready to be his friends rather than just his servants. And we're kind of in that same position. You know, we have teenagers, like Russ was saying, but we're going to be launching them from the nest. Like Jesus here is about to launch his disciples, you know, from the nest, from his from their relationship with Him. And that's the situation we're in. We're in a similar situation, and we have to do the same kind of thing. Look in chapter 16. I'm just going to read sort of the second half of verse 4 and the first half of verse 5. Jesus says, "I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to Him who sent me." Jesus is saying, "I'm about to leave. I'm going to heaven, and you're going to be left behind. And some of these things I didn't tell you when you were a brand new disciple, but now I'm telling you, I'm filling you in because I'm about to leave." And again, we're not leaving our children, they're leaving us, but the situation's the same. They're about to go off on their own and not be in our home anymore, not have us around and sort of supervising what they're doing anymore. And so we have to start preparing for that day. You know, we have to get, as Russ talked about, moving from just being an authority in their life to being an influence in their life. We have to get to a place where they can move on. Where our role in their life is more that of influence. Like we influence each other as disciples. Because they're going to be out of our house. You're not going to be able to control what they do. You're not going to even know what they're doing. They're going to be out of a house somewhere, in a dorm or an apartment or somewhere. And so we've got to start developing that before they leave, so that we have influence where they'll listen to us, where they'll hear our input, and they'll continue to let us give them advice. We have to start developing that now. Wyndham Shaw at the marriage retreat last fall, he said it's never too early to start this. You know, it's never too early. You know, our goal, like Jesus said here, is to get them from being just servants, you know, children that just do what we say, to ultimately being friends, peers, other adults. Now, they'll always respect us because we're their parents, just like we respect our own parents still. But eventually, we're not running their life anymore. My parents don't have any authority over me anymore. I hope your parents don't have any authority over you anymore, looking around the room. And that's the same way it's going to be with our children in the not-too-distant future. So just like Jesus said here to His disciples, we have to be able to reach that point where we can say, "You're my friend now. You know, you're my peer. You're a fellow adult. You're not a child anymore." And we have to be able to do that. I don't think you can't start too early, especially we're already all teen parents in here, right, or close to it. So it's never too late to start. But you can wait too long. You can wait too long. If you wait until they go out the door, you're waiting way too late. You can't just suddenly go from authority to influence the day they leave for college. In fact, if you hang on to your authority that long, they're probably in rebellion mode, and they're going to leave, and you're not going to hear from them again for a while, because they're ready to be on their own if we're doing that. So, you know, you'd regret it if you tried to use your authority too long. I tell this story that I learned from Sonny Sessions several years ago when this first started to occur to me. He said when his oldest Neil was in his senior year in high school, they let Neil move into the basement and sort of have his own room down there. So he'd be more sort of independent as he got ready to leave for college. And as Russ alluded to, it was a mess. Okay, Neil's strong suit was not tidiness and cleanliness. And that had been a battle they'd fought through most of his life. And so he's down there, you know, 3 or 4 months from graduating from high school, and Carolyn apparently went down there and started really reading the riot act at how messy his room was. And Sonny says, "Carolyn, no. We fought and lost that one. You know, he's ready to leave. We got to be focusing on the relationship. You know, we got to let the messiness thing go. And we got to be focusing on the relationship because we want to have a relationship. We don't want Neil to leave home and the last thing he remembers was us being on him because his room was dirty. We have more important issues." And I just always remembered that, you know. I gotta realize they're going out the door sooner than you think. And I want to have a relationship with them where the most important things are the things that, you know, that are in our relationship, not some of the less important things that maybe were more important when they're younger. But, you know, by the time they're 16 or 17, there are certain battles you just lost, you know. If they're not a punctual person, they're not going to become one that last year in high school. You know, they're just going to have to deal with not being punctual in life. You know, and if they're messy, they're going to be, you know, that's just how they're going to be for a while. So, you know, some things you kind of have to let go. Now, bigger issues you want to keep dealing with, spiritual issues. Let's see. Where am I? You know, start with uh, very practical things. If your teenager leaves for college and starts living in a dorm or moves out and starts living in an apartment, what's some practical things they got to be able to do?
Laundry.
Cook. Laundry.
Budget.
Got to have a bank account. Maybe work. Debit card. They got to be able to do their homework on their own if they're in school. You know, Yeah, they got to wake up in the morning. So are you still doing all that for them now? You know, if you're still doing all that for them up to the day they leave for college, boy, you're asking them to learn a lot real quick. So you got to start sooner. You got to start letting them do that. You know, start letting them take over some of these things. They can't master it all at once when they leave for college. They got to master some of it beforehand. You know, our boys had bank accounts and debit cards, you know, a couple of years before. David had his for a while, and Art has his for a while before he ever left for college. We actually raised their allowance and stopped buying them clothes. You know, it was like, here, we'll give you more money. Now you need to buy your own clothes. Now, when you do the laundry, you see the effects of this. You know, holy clothes are not necessarily righteous ones, but, you know, it's up to him to buy the new whatever. So, but, you know, we gave him the money to do it. So anyway, but you have to do that. You have to start moving these things over. You know, some of you can or can't afford this, but we got our kids, and they weren't super expensive, but used cars about age 17 for both the boys. And they had to have a job, though, so they could pay for the gas and the routine maintenance. And we paid for the car and the insurance, but they had to pay to operate it. But it taught them responsibility, and it made them more independent. You know, they were going places on their own. Like Russ said, it's a joy now. I don't have to carry them everywhere. And I know, and he can carry his sister places, too. And, you know, so that's a good thing if you can do it, but and just, you know, getting them to do that. You know, I think, then we stopped, Barb stopped doing laundry. Okay, that was for Art, when he graduated from high school, that was it. That whole last summer, he had to do his own laundry before he left for college, and I don't think she's done any laundry for him since. You know, maybe once or twice as a gift. But basically, you know, you just got to do these things. You can do them at different times, but you got to do these things. You know, I think children today, this is just my impression and what I've read, seem more reluctant to be independent and take responsibility than we were at their age. Okay, our generation, I mean, like, we were all eager to get out of the house, right? We were going to all go join a commune or something, right, as hippies. I mean, we were all eager to do it, rebel against, you know, but they seem reluctant, and sometimes you have to nudge them along. You know, Russ Minson, wait until they're responsible to have a driver's license. I certainly agree with that, but I think we actually tend to have the opposite problem. There's a lot of kids I know who are 17 years old and don't have their driver's license yet, and they're probably responsible enough. You know, and maybe they just, you know, you got to get your driver's license. You got to have that experience out there driving by yourself and becoming more independent. I think it helps them mature. Art was ready to do that, but David, we kind of had to push. You know, we had to make him do that because we were seeing the clock. You know, Art was going to leave, and if he didn't get his learner's permit now, he wouldn't have his driver's license. And shoot, we'd still be ferrying him around after Art left. I wasn't going to let that happen. Or ferrying his sister, too. So, you know, we sort of like, you got to get it. So we made him do it that summer before Art's senior year so he would have his driver's license the next year. You know, these kind of things you got to do. You know, with my boys, when they hit puberty, I told both of them that the issue of lust in their life was not going to be something that was parental authority issue. In other words, I wasn't going to punish them if they got into pornography on the internet. I was going to talk to them about it. I was going to share scriptures with them about it. I was going to hold them accountable. I was going to do all the things I would do with another disciple. But I said, this is not a parental issue. I'm not going to punish you. I'm not going to ground you. I'm not going to send you to your room. You know, it was going to be, they had to wrestle with sin like any other person. And so that was like the first step. That was the first step I said. You are starting into adulthood. This is your first adult thing to grapple with between you and God. If you're going to be righteous and pure, you have to learn it. Now, I'm going to help, but I'm not going to hold you accountable in a parental sense. Like you would a 10-year-old doing his homework. I just, you know, that's, more and more things, you know, the rules gradually faded away, you know, as they got older. And at 18, we told each of our boys, David just recently, there's no more rules. There's no more, you know, you're an adult. You make your own choices. There's no more curfew. There's no, except the law, you know, whatever they're, And now we still talk. You know, we still expect, you know, courtesy and respect. And, you know, we'd like to know when you're coming home just so we'll know. Mommy and Barb likes to know when I'm coming home. You know, there's still that, but it's no longer rules. It's no longer. We just kind of had to move away from that stuff. And then I just told David this recently, and I told Art this too, that I think he's ready to move out. I think, or he'll be ready, you know, in a few months when it's time. And I think especially boys need to hear that, or young men need to hear that from their dad. That the dad feels like they're ready to take on the world and go out. I think it does a lot for their confidence. And they need to know that. If they think the opposite, oh, dad doesn't, you know, think I'm ready. Of course, your child might not be ready. That's another issue. But, I mean, you know, if they're getting ready and they're getting there, you know, they need that encouragement. Oh, boy, I'm taking too long. If possible, what you want to avoid is the boomerang, you know, where the child moves and fails and has to come back home. Okay, now that happens, and it's more and more prevalent. But your goal is to try to avoid that. You'd like it when they leave, they're able to stay, gone, you know, on their own. But if you do have the boomerang, you just have to deal with it. But the goal is to get them back out the door, you know, get them back on the horse, you know, and come up with a plan. There's a great book, Parenting Your Adult Child. That's a good book to read. By Ross Campbell and Gary Chapman. Alan Rouse recommends that book all the time. And it talks about strategies to help young adults become more responsible. Maybe when they're a little reluctant to do that. Amen. Okay, one other point I want to make. Turn to Matthew 6. I want to talk just a few minutes about choosing a college. Most of our kids will go to college. And or, you know, Russ said some of them won't, and that's true. But most of our kids should go to some kind of college or trade school or something. You know, just a high school diploma is not going to get them very far. And we should encourage them, if possible, to aim as high as they can. I mean, not all of our kids will go to Harvard. Maybe none of our kids will go to Harvard. But we should get them, you know, aim as high as they can, realistically. But what's the most important thing to consider when helping your teenager select a college? Who can quote Matthew 6 and verse 33? Loud, loud. And all these things will be yours as well. And that principle applies to helping your teenager pick a college. The most important factor is the spiritual factor. Not, you know, this is the school I really want to go to. It has a cool campus. It has what I want to study there. My friends are going. You know, it's cheaper than the other places. You know, all those things are important things you have to consider, but they're not the most important. The most important thing is, what's the spiritual impact on your children or your child, your young adult, going to that place? And that's the most important thing. Is the kingdom of God there? Can they seek first the kingdom of God while going to that school? Is there a strong church, discipling ministry there? Does it have a campus ministry? There could be a great school there, but with no campus ministry, it's going to be hard for them to connect. And that's the most important criteria. Certainly, if your teen is a disciple, that's the most important criteria. But even if your teen is not a disciple, I mean, that's still an important criteria. You can still talk to them about it. You know, that they can stay, have a lifeline to the church. That they can still have relationships with people they know and trust. You know, that, I mean, even a non-disciple teen, I think, will understand that. You know, that, hey, there'll be people there I know and trust, even if I'm not ready to follow Jesus right this minute. You know, do they have a good campus ministry? Do your kids know people there? You know, even if all the answers to these questions are yes, you want to help with the transition. You know, help them build relationships there. We've been doing that. We did that with Art. When we went to the campus visit at UGA, we actually spent the night in disciples' homes, Kevin and Ben Galbraith. And he got to hang out playing video games. And we played Risk till midnight or something. I went to bed. They kept playing. And so, you know, he got plugged. Kevin Thompson, the campus minister, dropped by and said hi. This was a year before he went there. And then when he actually went, we had made calls in advance. That day we got there, and they sent people to help us move in. I mean, we had one little carload of stuff to move into his room, and there were like three guys came to help us. And so I took them all out to lunch, and they made sure Art got to midweek that night. You know, and it was like, that's what you want to do. You want to make all that stuff happen. You know, even if they're not a disciple, you try to keep them plugged in, right? Sierra Freeman, She got baptized, what, just a few weeks after she went to college? Because she stayed plugged in. She stayed connected and got going right as soon as she got there spiritually. That was cool. You know, when they leave home, disciple or not, that's the most dangerous time for them spiritually. When they leave home, that first time, that's the most dangerous time. That's when they can fall. Even if they're spiritual, even if they've been a disciple as a teenager. We've seen lots of teenagers lose their faith as they go to college. And so that's the time. That's an important moment. You want to be doing what you can to smooth that transition. Art, we had picked out and found a disciple for him to be his roommate from another church at Georgia. And we got him roomed up with this boy, and he went there, and he discovered getting there that this boy had lost his faith. I don't even know if his parents knew. And he actually started attacking Art's faith, trying to undermine Art's faith and using the same arguments against Art that had caused him to lose his faith. And that's how Art spent his first semester at college. So these things happen. We've seen it in our own ministry, you know, over the past couple of years, folks who got baptized as teenagers, but then when they leave for college, either they fall hard into the world or their faith just kind of fades away. We've seen it happen. So, you know, it's a crucial time that we want to be focused on. Right. Amen. Okay, well, as Russ said, prayer is a very important thing. So let's close out with a prayer. Amen. Dear God, we thank you that you give us guidance, Father, that you help us, that we can pray to you. Father, we pray for our children, our young adults, our young men and women, as they get ready to leave home in the next year or two or three. God, we pray that you would be working in their lives to prepare them to be adults, to prepare them to be responsible, and to help them to remain faithful to you, or to be brought to you, God, and to have that faith. We love you, God, and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.